Guess what, my siblings? It's our 70th anniversary. And what better way to celebrate than by bringing back the OG jingle that started it all. Press play, sing along, and take a trip down memory lane with us. Because this moment, this milestone, is all thanks to you. Now enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone. I am Mo Sibyl, and this is the Mo Sibyl Podcast.
Welcome back to the podcast. Today, it's like going back in time, and I'm super excited to bring this person on the podcast because they really signify the beginning of things we've done on the podcast. Because what does this mean to all of you listening? And I remember she had come for, was it an interview for a presidency position? And she came over to my apartment, and you know, we just said, and I told her, "Hey, I'm launching a podcast." And I remember having her listen to the you know, that episode 00, every podcast that has to make about your podcast, introducing yourself, your mission, and yada yada. And there was a part that was, I kind of said something in a very quirky way. She was like, "I think you want to change this." She gave me feedback that was very, very instrumental. And so I'm so glad to bring her back as a way to kind of honor our tradition. It's been 7 years since I started this podcast, so going back in time and just dwelling on the nostalgia of the present. So today I have with me a Nigerian American pharmacist who immigrated to the US from Nigeria when she was 12. And in the first episode, we had talked about, you know, her experience being from Nigeria to the US, spicy food, culture shock, adjusting to US educational system. And this time around, we're just catching up on her since, you know, the past 7 years. And she's made a lot of strides in her personal life, which we'll, you know, get into. She, it feels right to actually bring her back for this special conversation because she's also grown in so many ways since our last chat. She's now a wife. She's no longer the miss, you know. She's now a missus. She's a mom. She's always been a daughter, a sister, a friend, and a dedicated pharmacist with a deep passion for caring for others. Beyond her profession, she also finds joy in cooking, in traveling, in volunteering, and cherishing time with loved ones. So join us as we just chat about, again, reflecting on the past 7 years, how life has unfolded for her since that very first episode. So everyone, join me in welcoming back to the podcast, Dr. Fiona Adanse, who was formerly known as Imaya. And I met her when I was a grad student. She was one of my students that I TA'd, you know, while I was in UT Austin. So welcome back, Fiona. How you doing?
Thank you. Good. It's crazy that it's been 7 years. I'm still like in awe of like just how quickly time has flown by. Yeah, because I went back and listened to our initial podcast this week, and I was like, man, was that 7 years ago?
You're still braver than I am, because I couldn't get to it. I was like, once I started listening, I was like, oh my god, why do I sound so cringe? Because now I've made it, when I look at my past self and I'm cringing at my past self, that's the mark of knowing that you've made it in podcasting.
Yeah, and it's like, if you listen to your recent episodes, you can see like the growth and the
progress.
I still remember the intro song, and like, I mean, even my trip to Oklahoma, I still remember very particular details of that trip.
Yeah,
like what we did that weekend, and all. And I was like, man, that's been 7 years. That's crazy.
It's been seven years.
I feel that long.
I've moved away from that place since then. I moved out like 2 years after, you know, moved, you know, a little bit into the suburbs. So I'm no longer at that apartment anymore. Yeah, but it's been like Nigerians would say, many waters have passed under that bridge. But here we are. And I saw you last year, you know, at that friend's wedding, you know, and I was like, oh, small wedding.
Unexpectedly. Oh my gosh. Like, nowadays, I mean, that's the thing people get on me about is they have not been seeing me, which is just, life has just changed for me so rapidly that I'm trying to keep up. And it's a beautiful thing, because the same way my life is changing, you know, everyone's life of others around me is changing too as well. So it's it's a lot in a good way.
Anyways,
congrats on all the milestones. I think just to get us started, it's been 7 years since our last episode. So what has been happening in your life since then that you'd like to share with us?
Oh, yeah. So 7 years, I think a few months after that podcast, I began dating my now husband, which is crazy because I had to go back and look at the dates. And I was like, oh, yeah, we started dating that year, later that year. And then from there, we, you know, at the time, I also matched to residency soon after podcast too as well. So I was, you know, simultaneously dating my husband. I started residency for 2 years. You know, he was in the MBA program while I was in residency. We kind of finished my 2 years of residency, his 2 years of MBA, kind of, I think about a month or so apart. And then after that, we got engaged, we got married. Within a couple months of getting married, we bought a house. Within a couple months from that, we found out we were expecting a first child. You know, we had the first child. And then about a year and a half later, we found out we're expecting a second. So it's just basically like, go, 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 go. You know, I finished my 2 years of residency. I ended up, you know, falling in love with where I was, and I was blessed with the opportunity to stay on. So it's full circle now, because I, you know, 7 years ago, I was interviewing for residency position.
Yeah.
So I'm actually like on the other side, interviewing residents and also precepting residents. And
look at you.
So it's been crazy. It's been crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, if you could look back now in time and think, cast your mind back to that feeling and all the strides you've made, would you just say that it just began with just taking a step wherever you go? Because look at all the things you've been able to do in the past 7 years, and it doesn't seem like it's been that long, but you've done so much. But if someone had told you that your life was going to unfold in those, you know, sequences that you just mentioned, and I'm sure there's been a lot of great things that you've accomplished that we can't just fit into a podcast. But would you just say all that it takes is just a leap of faith? Like, even if you can't see the forest for the trees, you know, take a step and keep going.
Yeah, so definitely a leap of faith, and honestly just trusting and surrendering to God's will for my life, really has been what the last few years has been like for me. I mean, like, even when I met my husband, I was I'm a very shy girl, so I was kind of skeptical about, what is this guy about, really? And, you know, that started with a leap of faith, joining into that, and then the next thing, and then the next thing, and really just trusting God every step of the way, and just knowing that in spite of everything else going on, because, you know, life doesn't just pause, right? Everything just keeps going simultaneously. Yeah. So just trusting God that he will take care of everything, even when it feels chaotic. So that's kind of been our lives these last few years. I mean, it's been beautiful. I've embraced the chaos, especially that comes with parenting. So it's been a beautiful chaos, to say the least.
And if you remind me again, he's non-Nigerian, correct?
Yeah, so I'm married to a Ghanaian.
Ooh. And when you came on the podcast, you talked about the red rice and jollof rice.
Funny enough.
Fiona, which jollof rice are you rooting for? Don't break my heart.
Nigerian jollof. I stay loyal. And I hope my kids will follow suit.
Amen. Let's keep it. How about him? Has he crossed over to the good side now?
You know, he hasn't. He's been running his salvation. I guess someone has to keep the wall going. So he's trying to play the devil's advocate here. But we all know, you know, I'm sorry, anyone who's listening, it's Niger jollof or bust.
All the way, exactly. Forget about it. Yeah. Even though we can't claim that jollof originated from Nigeria, but we perfected our hustle, okay? But how's it been like, you know, being in a multicultural marriage? Like, were there some adjustments you had to make? I mean, Ghana, Nigeria, it's not like a huge leap, but sometimes those tiny distances can make a world of a difference.
Yeah, so that's been kind of interesting to see. I would say it was not as different as I thought it would be. Mm. Like, I thought, Nigerian, Ghanaian, there's a lot of change. You know, there is definitely like very key cultural differences between both, but it's kind of like, it really is like siblings. There's a lot of similarity. Like, even on the foods are very similar. It's just sometimes their spices and the way they season their foods may be a little bit different.
And the eggs. But, I'm like, why? Oh. Eggs?
Which is so funny because I think my husband is the only Ghanaian I know that doesn't eat eggs, and now my daughter too. So.
Oh my goodness, we need to check his ancestry. We need to be sure that he's really from Ghana.
That's like a known thing about Ghanaians. Well, the eggs are real. I can assure you, the eggs and the love for eggs is a real thing.
We should check in on them because with this economy now, with eggs being so expensive, like we should check in on our Ghanaian friends to see how they are doing.
A real thing. From events and things I've experienced, they really love their boiled eggs. So it's a thing. They buy, like, even when I go to my in-laws' house, they always, like, there's no time they don't have eggs in that household. I'm like, wow. Yeah. So I guess they make it work. Even in the economy, they make it work.
Hard times. All right.
Yeah, but I would say, like, the culture is very similar. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like I'm married to, like, I mean, my origin, I'm more so, like, from Edo State. Mm-hmm. But it almost feels like I'm an Edo lady married to maybe an Igbo man, or maybe
I see. It's not that much of a vast culture.
Yeah, so it's not like a really vast difference. I feel like if he was maybe like East African or something like that, it may be even more different because their kind of their cuisine is a lot different.
Cuisines
are very similar. We just call things different names too, as well. Like they have their own version of like akara and there's a lot of similarities in the food, so it hasn't been that different.
Yeah,
and obviously, when you get married, because you both didn't grow up in the same household, which I'm sure you probably can attest to, there's some, you know. Difference.
Natural, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that way.
Regardless
as well.
Of the cultural difference,
yes.
Just yeah. Period.
So that's
yeah.
been kind of our
experience. Yeah, I also imagine that it's even more cultural exploration through food for you, because now you can even maybe be curious about their food and maybe incorporate some of that into what you cook already.
I haven't really been doing a lot of the Ghanaian cooking, but yes, I've been exposed to a lot of the Ghanaian meals.
Yeah.
Probably some influence. I would say one key thing is they use a lot of ginger. So while Nigerians are very more garlic in our stews and soups, they're more ginger heavy. Now you come to my house, there's ginger in my house. Before, even if there's a little ginger, we still make it work. But now, like, they're very, like, their sauces are very ginger heavy. Even their jollof as well.
Yeah.
One of the things that their tastes, they use a different grain of rice.
I know. I see that.
Jasmine,
jasmine
rice.
Fragrance, which is like, I don't like my rice made up of but that's just me.
Yeah, and then they use a lot of ginger in your dishes too.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. So again, since the last time you were on the podcast, so we talked about, because I'm just trying to do that thing of curious about where you are currently, but also drawing some tidbits from your last time on the podcast. Have you visited Nigeria since the last book?
I have not.
Shame
on me. But did go to Ghana. We went to Ghana last year.
You went to Ghana?
I know.
It's just next door.
I know.
Did you take the keto?
We didn't have enough time to do both.
Yeah,
so what we're hoping for in a future trip is to be able to do both in one trip. Yeah, because we were only gone for like 10 days. Logistically, it wouldn't work out. And my husband is like dying to go to Nigeria. So.
Yeah. Has he been there before?
He's never been. He does have a lot of Nigerian friends.
Okay.
So he is exposed to the Nigerian culture because he went to college in Houston. He's been in Houston for several years. So
Houston is Jamaica.
Yeah, Houston is a lot of Nigerians here. So he does know a lot of Nigerians. He's very curious and wants to go.
Yeah,
it was just for that trip. We couldn't logistically do both because we also went with our daughter who was
at the time. Yeah,
so
yeah.
There's going to be a lot to be hopping around.
I can feel it. Even when you're in Nigeria, you can't even get to a lot of places. Like, I remember, because we just got back, we're there for 2 months. There's just something about being in Nigeria that just cripples you to a halt. Like, even within Lagos, like, to go from one part of Lagos to another part, it felt like traveling from one country to another country. So, and how much more with a little child? Like, that would be quite difficult.
Yeah.
Hopefully you guys get to go and experience that again.
Yeah, so that's what we're hoping to do. We don't know when yet, so we'll see how life changes for us, hopefully within the next couple of years, and
try to
make that happen.
So let's talk about your career a little bit. So I met you when I was a grad student, and you're in FAMD program, and then you did your residency. Now, was it ambulatory care or?
Yeah, so I did a first year of just general pharmacy residency, where you're kind of exposed to everything, and then a second year in ambulatory care, correct?
Okay. Yeah. So how's that been like? And you can maybe talk a little bit about why you chose that path. Now, for pharmacists, there are many career pathways. Like, you know, I have done hospital, retail, and then decided that academic pharmacy was going to be my pathway. But I'm curious to know what made you decide, and how early on in your program you decided to go into residency, what that was like for you, and then maybe talk a little bit about your decision to stay and what you're doing right now.
Yeah, so really great question. I know, so last time I was in the process of interviewing for residency. When I first started pharmacy school, I heard about residencies, but I wasn't quite exposed or knew a lot about residency programs until I'll say I was probably my second going into my third year. Because I would say something our school did a really great job of was to invite pharmacists to come speak to us to kind of showcase what they did. So that way we're exposed to like a broad range of roles that we can take on as pharmacists. And something that really grasped my attention, I realized, was more of like the clinical roles, like people who worked more in the hospital clinic setting. So that was something that I naturally gravitated to. So I reached out to a couple of people to shadow and see what they did. I shadowed some inpatient things. I realized it was a great learning experience, but it wasn't necessarily for me. Patients were really sick, especially for a pediatric setting, very sick children and all of that. And the emotion that came with that, it wasn't really something that I particularly enjoyed. But when I went on the outpatient side and, you know, I saw pharmacists basically seeing patients and helping manage things like diabetes, hypertension, you know, the relationships they were able to form with patients, the relationships they were able to form with other healthcare professionals, because more so they tend to work in more of an interdisciplinary type of setting. So I really absolutely love that. So I think for me, that's what really sparked that interest. I'm like, okay, I think I found, you know, what I want to do.
Yeah,
so that's why I was able to kind of follow that track. A mentor who I absolutely adore, you know, also told me about particular programs to look into that maybe better geared towards like ambulatory care practices, like, you know, like the federal health qualified clinics, and possibly like the VA setting as well. So I was able to kind of pay very close attention to that. So for me, when I was looking at residency programs, I was also looking at places that may have an opportunity for me to either get a very well-rounded first-year residency where I'll be able to take on a role soon after, or do 2 years where I'll get that ambulatory care experience. So I ended up going with the route of doing the first year of everything and then the second year very focused on ambulatory care. So right now I work in a ambulatory care setting, so meaning that my patients are not hospitalized, so they're more so seeing me as kind of like almost seeing a nurse practitioner or physician assistant for managing diabetes, hypertension. I work now closely with veterans, whom I've absolutely fell in love with that population. So I do things like help manage things like diabetes, hypertension, cholesterol issues, thyroid problems. I also advise and recommend treatment plans to providers as well, like doctors, nurse practitioners, you know, would reach out, physician assistants, reach out for guidance on, okay, what do you think will be good for this patient? What dose? What do you think about this? You know, recommendations, all of those things. So I do that as well. I answer questions, you know, sometimes very tricky questions related to, specifically to medications that you're struggling with, whether it being from a patient's perspective or a provider's perspective. So it's a very kind of busy.
Busy, yeah.
but it's something I enjoy. I don't know if you, when you do something that it's busy, but you enjoy it.
It doesn't feel like work.
It doesn't feel like work. So that's something I would say about my job. Like it can get very, very busy and tiring, but I do enjoy what I do. I enjoy the people I work for and people I care for. So that's been great. So I've been in that role since 2020. So I'm going into my fifth year now. Some of my patients I've known since my very first month of starting in my role. So I've been able to kind of develop that long-term relationship with them. I love it. In our program as well, you know, since I trained there, I'm also able to help train trainees now. So I do have residents go on rotations with me. You know, I mentor, I precept, and teach. So it's a very well-rounded role that I absolutely love.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Now, as a preceptor, are you affiliated with any university?
So at this time, not necessarily a university for now. Mm-hmm. I'm more so affiliated with just our residency program. But as far as like students are concerned, because of the workload that I currently handle, it's very difficult to embed students into my role because it requires a higher level of functioning. So like a residency level of functioning or higher. Mm-hmm. So like if I were, for example, to take a third year resident, they may be lost because the patient population I care for are very ill. Homebound patients. Mm-hmm. But that's something that may change, you know, over the years.
Over time,
so, yeah. Okay. So that's where I am right now.
So how are you combining this with, you know, marriage and motherhood?
Oh yeah, so I'll say my husband and I run a very tight ship. Mm-hmm. It's kind of how I'll describe our lives. You know, I have a very busy role like I just described, and he is even busier too as well. He's a project manager for an IT company, works, I would say probably his current role is probably double the workload of what he needs to do prior to having children. So, which is crazy that we're even busier with children than we were without kids. Mm. So it's just honestly just taking a day at a time, really. Just kind of learning when to prioritize and making sure that, you know, work time is work time and family time is family time. So I'll say that's something we're kind of very intentional about doing. It's like, okay, when it's just time to log off work, we have to log off and kind of dedicate our time to like parenting and taking care of our daughter and making sure that, you know, she's seeing the full version of ourselves. And then the next time when it's time to work, we pick up where we left off and kind of keep going. I think something else that helps us is our schedules are kind of coordinated. And sense, we work like a Monday to Friday type of role. So we know our weekends we're off and we're together on the weekend. Mm. So we try to do a lot of like our family activities and things on the weekend. You know, we're also very involved in serving our local church. So that takes up a chunk of our Sundays. And some of the plannings, you know, happen prior to Sunday as well. So we live a very busy life, but it's a busy in a good sense, meaning that busy that we're making a difference, whether it be in the jobs we do or in the lives of people that we impact at church or in the life of raising our children as well. So we like to kind of see our lives as like a ministry, regardless of what we're doing and where we're at. So that's kind of how we're living right now. And I would say something that makes it probably tougher, and that's a difference being in the U.S. versus being in places like Nigeria, is there's not a whole lot of support as far as like raising kids. So, you know, most parents are having to like use daycare systems or nannies or things like that to be able to work and, you know, cater for our children, because during our work hours, our daughter has to be cared for, right, by someone else. So thankfully, you know, she's in a really good preschool that she loves. So we kind of take advantage of that to kind of keep her occupied and learning while we work. And then we take over after that. But, you know, with our parents working full-time jobs, you know, it's a busy life. It's a very busy life. And not being in the same city as them, too.
They're not in Texas with you?
Yeah. No, they're in the same state, but they're like 4 hours away.
So. Never mind. Why did I even say Texas? I'll just mention the city, because Texas can, one Texas end of Texas and that could be like 12 hours.
Literally a very big state. So we're all in Texas. We're just in different cities. So that makes life busy for us. But like I said, we've just taking on the challenge of the chaos, and we're just kind of pushing forward with it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's a season, and that's kind of how we see life as well. It's a season that will pass. So
yeah. Okay. I mean, thanks for sharing that. And in going back to your response about your work and just how you settle down on your career, two things I wanted to tease out, which I think will be very useful, especially for those who might currently be in that phase, is sometimes you might know what you want, sometimes you might know what you don't want. So for Fiona, she had a clue as to what she wanted. She sought out a mentorship path to like help her get there. Now for those of us, if you're like me, where you have so many interests and you're like, I don't know which one to go for, you can also do it the other way around and try the things you know you don't want to do, and as a way to confirm and say, okay, I've definitely X'd that out. That's not for me. Like, you know, going on an internship, like, for example, hospital pharmacy, I would never be a hospital pharmacist ever in my life again. It's not for me, you know, but yeah. I still went ahead and did it just for the, you know, heck of it, to be sure that it wasn't just me being lazy. It wasn't just a hunch. I just didn't want to be it. So again, but seeking that mentorship and looking for someone to mentor you and provide that clear path. She also talked about how a mentor even advised her on where to go apply. So you cannot do this in isolation. Seek mentorship. We always talk about that on podcasts. It's still part of community building, right? And when you don't see the forest for the trees, just keep going. Just keep going. It's been 7 years and there's a lot. There's a lot this lady has, you know, achieved. So I'm curious to know, though, for Fiona, as a follow-up question. Over the years, as you've evolved from, you know, being who you've been as a student now to a mom and a wife, would you say that some perspectives that have become more and more important to you over the years?
So I've evolved more so to a mom. Is there certain perspectives that are
more... A mom, a wife, a career person, like over the years, looking back like the past 7 years, things, perspectives that have become more important to you?
Yeah, I think for me, just kind of learning to rest, I'll say has been something that I've learned that is very, very important. More so like, because like, for example, my daughter was once a newborn and now she's walking and talking and doing all these things. So life goes by very fast. So kind of stopping to rest and smell the roses, you know, I'm kind of learning that that's okay because things change. Mm-hmm. Like I kind of alluded to, you know, life is all a season, right? You know, today you may be with a baby, tomorrow that baby becomes a toddler, and then that baby is like grown and the baby is like a teenager, you know, wanting to live outside of the home and things like that. So that for me, just learning to rest, learning to take life a day at a time, too, as well, as something that I've really embraced. And honestly, I thought I was flexible before I had kids.
They would squeeze more out of you. You thought there was nothing in that toothpaste jar. My friend, go and bring it out.
But I think something else that they really helped me recognize too is flexibility, like really. And learning that and realizing every day is not going to go exactly like I envisioned or planned, but just learning to roll with the punches, because I really thought I was flexible. And then yeah. I had my daughter, I was like, what the?
Especially time. Did you struggle with just time as a construct? Like, okay, maybe, but I'm just too curious about you. Because for me, we were married for what? I need to do the math because, okay, we're married for about, I want to say 19 years before we began fostering and then finally adopted our daughter, right? And 9 years of just you and your husband, just, you know, you wake up whenever you want to wake up because, you know, you have different schedules. Nobody, you know, tapping you on, like, you just had your schedule to yourself and you were kind of selfish about the things you wanted to do. Enter a child where, again, you went right from not having any kids, not even like getting pregnant and that whole bonding and preparing yourself. It's like one day you didn't have a child, the next day you were now a mom, you know. But then I struggled with time as a construct. Like, how do you fit? Not like, I don't think fitting in is the word for it. I'm still trying to find the English word to explain what a child does to you. Like, same like as a construct, how did you cope with that shift for you?
Yeah, that's definitely, like, a real change. Because even my cousin is expecting, and I'm trying to, like, explain to her how life changes when a child comes. Like you said, I mean, I could wake up, do whatever I wanted, when I wanted. My 2 o'clock was my 2 o'clock. You know, like, my Saturdays, I'm like, oh, not feeling it today. Let me just sleep in, wake up a little later, you know, things like that. But once they come into the picture, they take up, like, there's this human. And we make a joke about it. It's like, once they come, you can't, like, return them.
There's no 30-day return. And it's a permanent.
There's no return policy on them. If you don't like them, whether you like them or not, there's no return.
Wait till they start talking like you or behaving like you. Like, you look into the mirror and they're right there. And my daughter is just like, she's like me on triple times the energy. So the things that kind of gets me, you know, on her sometimes, my mom will be like, this is how you were. So we traveled recently and we, you know, spent time with my mom. And she would call me and say, this is how you were as a kid, by the way. And I'm like, no, I wasn't. She's like, trust me, you were like that as a kid. I'm like, mom, you should be on my side.
Yeah, so it's really like day, and I understand what you're saying about the time as a construct. I can't really like fully describe it, but they kind of become like the epitome of everything else surrounds them. The time you wake up is influenced by them, really. Time you do whatever you need to do is influenced by them, like,
yeah,
even if I'm not feeling good today or my husband's not feeling good today, one of us has to get up, because that child,
there's no day off.
When they're ready to eat, they're ready to eat.
Yeah,
they don't care if your back hurts or you're tired or how your night went. It's just like, what they want it when they want it. And like with parenting, you just don't have a choice. You go. Yes. Yeah, like even when it comes to like, you know, in my mind, I'm like, okay, we're going to leave the house at this time, get her ready. And she's like in her twos phase now, where it's like, she's also very independent. She wants to do things herself. You know, maybe on a Sunday, we're trying to get out to make it to church on time. And she is insisting she wants to make her own food, which would take like almost triple the amount of time to do all of that. And sometimes you just pick your battles, really. You just pick your battles and just go with it. You're either going to be starting things earlier to try to make things work, or you're just going to have to learn that, you know, sometimes you're not really in charge. Really, they're the bosses of everything. You're not in charge of your time anymore once they come. They become the bosses of everything. Like your schedules, like even my weekends now too, it's like now she has a social calendar because she gets invited to birthday parties.
Oh, that's another one.
So, you know, they kind of occupy that too as well, because they need to get there somehow. So you're going to have to make arrangements to get them to where they need to go and get them back. It's a beautiful chaos for sure.
Definitely. And thanks for that reminder. And I think another thing, as we're talking about timing, I also realized that they help to put things into perspective. Like things that I used to get very, you know, gung-ho about, like, it's almost like, this is not important anymore. Like, my daughter has helped me realize the importance, well, like, what's important to me. Like you said, they take center of everything, right? Your time, your perspective, and even the work I do, I feel like I have more purpose in life right now. And the things I used to chase before, just for the heck of it, for the high of it, it's like, I'd rather use that time with something to, you know, spend on my daughter, or, you know, do something more meaningful. So that has been quite life-changing, you know?
Absolutely. You kind of weigh everything.
They
definitely bring a whole new perspective.
Wait until the second one comes. Let me explain what's going to happen to you. There's a train track that goes on in your head with just one child. You don't really notice the train track because you're used to it. Now, with the second one, when the second one is born, you're going to have two train tracks. And they're not leaving at the same time. So it's choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo. And it's never ending. The choo-choo-choo-choo is always going to be there because they have different needs, different passengers, different timing. And you can't turn it off. So get ready for that.
Well, it's coming soon.
Nobody tells you that. So you'll be fine. All right. So, I mean, it's just, I feel like this episode is more of just a catch up, and it's also bringing to mind the very first time we, you know, had this conversation together on the podcast with you. So I'm curious to know, Fiona, since the last time we've, you know, casting your mind back, what was it like for you sharing your story that time, and how does it feel doing it again now, 7 years later?
What did it feel like sharing my story then and now? Like I said, I went back and listened, and I was like, wow, so much has changed. I mean, obviously everything I shared still stands true, but I feel like because it has been 7 years, like back then I could identify, I was still like acclimatizing to the American culture and how things are here, to where I could fully recognize like very key differences. But I feel like because I've been here, I've lived in the U.S. I spent more of my life in the U.S. than I have in Nigeria. Now I'm very like much Americanized. that even going back, you know, yes, I do have some knowledge and experiences. It's going to be a very different change for me, because it's going to feel, I feel like now it's going to be a culture shock for me going back because of how much time I've been here and for how long I've been here. So I'm excited to go back and see, but I felt like because I've been here even 7 more additional years since the last time we spoke, I'm more so accustomed to the culture here than I was with my culture back home. But I'm still, you know, it's still like the foundation, right? So it's still there. It doesn't change. Like all of those things, you know, those experiences I still share, and it's still there. Even a cousin of mine that we grew up together as kids, she recently moved to the area. And, you know, she's also serving as a very good reminder for me as to, like, you know, the changes. Yeah, because she's able to remind me of, like, oh, this is what we used to do as kids and blah, 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 and this. And I'm like, oh, wow, you know. So to me, I'm kind of like the Americanized version to her. But because I've been here a lot longer than she has, she still has that tie to Nigeria, a stronger tie than I do, that makes sense. But it's very good. It helps me to see my past from her perspective, too, as well. Yeah.
And I think that, I mean, if it's of any consolation, even as someone who goes there regularly, I go to Nigeria at least once a year. And the last time I spent up to 3 months there.
Wow.
The moment you leave and you leave and you're here for a while, there's no amount of going back and forth that would erode that culture. You always have cultural shock, right? Mm-hmm. But one thing that cannot be taken away from you is that at the very core of it, there's a Nigerian in you.
Yes.
You know? And whether it gets activated maybe by some songs you listen to, or the way you dress, or the way you engage in some activities like food, or even media and all that, that's you being Nigerian, right? And you going back home is just a way to connect in a physical way to the soil of, you know, of your forefathers and whatever. But yeah, that whole cultural shock, it's okay. It's just what it is. You know, and it's not like you're here pining all the time for Nigeria. You have to also make life happen for you. And, you know, you having kids and, you know, all the roles you're playing. Who has time to be, you know, brooding over a long-lost boyfriend called Nigeria? But whenever you go there, you kick things back up, but you have that shock. There's no way you don't have that shock, because things keep changing. Mm-hmm. The Nigeria you knew as a kid, like I said, I go every year, and every year I almost have to relearn some of the things. So slangs I'm using, they're like, nobody says that anymore, by the way. Oh, wow. Or the roads look a bit different. There's a new way of doing things. You know, the technology is also moving in a different way. Banking is, you know, so much improved. So there's so many things that will shock you. But that's okay. But what doesn't change is you're still Nigerian at the very core of it. So, yeah, if that helps.
No, that's good to know. I'm looking forward to... definitely looking forward to a trip back. Would be very nice, for sure.
You came on the podcast. I think that was a very, very first podcast, right?
Yeah, that was your first.
And that was my first, and then that was your first as well. And I remember, like, when I hit send on your episode and I published it on my website, your episode had the most number of comments, you know, and I had people from all over, like, commenting. We had about 11 comments on there, like Nathan, my friend from Miami. I had Wale, I had to maybe who was in the UK, you know. People would just say, oh, this was a great episode, night episode, love the energy, well done, and all that. And that was as a newly minted podcast host, that felt very nice in this comment, because I needed the encouragement. You know how you start with friends, families, and fools whenever you're starting something new? So that was a good boost for me as a host. But I'm curious to know if you, and it's okay if you didn't have anything that kind of, you know, resonated with you, but what do you think being on the podcast back then impacted you in any way?
I think for me, it showed me that I could do things that I didn't think I'd be comfortable doing, because by nature, like, people won't believe this, but by nature, I'm a very kind of quiet, private kind of person. Like, it's not that I don't communicate or talk to people. Like, I don't even have, like, a big social media presence at all. Like, I just live my day-to-day life. So to imagine someone like me publishing a podcast, because when you think about podcasts, you're mostly thinking about people who are, like, you know, very in tune on social social media, very involved in all of that. So I think for me, it showed me that I was capable of doing, of having that side. So I absolutely loved it. I couldn't believe it'll take me this long to come back. But I'm glad.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay.
I came back and just listening back, I was like, oh man, time has changed so much since the last time. But I do have to give kudos to you as well, though.
Really?
I mean, you've kept this up. I still remember, you know, when you told me the vision, you showed me your intro and all of those things that you were doing, right? Because it's one thing to start something, but it's something else to be able to maintain and follow through and be dedicated. So I have to give you props for your dedication to this. Like, I really do have to, because I mean, 7 years no be beans.
No beans, you know, no money.
Yeah,
oh, you it's know, not killing really like the Ghanaians.
Because you've been at this and you've been consistent, you've been pulling through. I'm sure, you know, there are moments where you may have not felt like doing it, or you've been busy, or you've gone through different seasons, right? But you have still stayed, you know, dedicated and consistent to carrying that vision forward. So, I mean, props to you. 7 years, that's amazing. So before you know it, now it's 10-year anniversary.
Right. Thank you. I mean, you've answered my next question, which was, you know, for people who might be hesitant to share their story, you've already encouraged them. Like, and I think even as a whole, hearing that to keep going, because if someone had told me I was going to keep doing this for 7 years, is it possible? But there's still so much to do. Like, I feel like I've just started, you know, like there's still so much to do.
Yeah, because like, yeah. I mean, I know podcasts are like a big thing now, like almost
everybody has a podcast. USPS just launched a podcast. The USPS, United States Postal Service, just launched a podcast.
Everybody is going into podcast space. But I would say you're like amongst the OGs. Okay?
OG. My friend would say OG before the IG.
When podcasts weren't the glamorous things, you were one of those pioneers. You weren't like a bandwagoner doing it because everybody else is doing it. So something to recognize there too as well.
Thank you. So final questions as well. If you were to leave a message for your future self 7 years from now, I hope I don't bring you back again 7 years later. Maybe we'll bring you back sooner than that, but it's fine. But just in case we bring you back 7 years from now, what would you like to leave as a message for your future self?
I'll say just life is beautiful. I hope you've continued to learn. I hope you've continued to grow. I hope you've continued to stop and smell the roses along the way. I hope you've accomplished more than you could ever imagine. I hope you're still caring for others and serving people. I hope the fire that's still there is still burning. So 7 years from now, yeah, really, I'm thinking about a vision that I have for myself 7 years from now. I hope, you know, I grow even in the pharmacy space. I hope I'm still making a difference. Trusting God for directions as far as like nonprofit and how to give back, hoping that that's either in full blown move or that's in the works. Hoping that by God's grace, you know, healthy, happy family and home. Hoping that I'm still juggling and balancing life where, you know, God first, my family, career and friends, everything as a whole bubble. I hope I'm still following that life and able to keep it all, but still be okay with all the chaos and the beautiful things that come along with that. Yeah.
That is so beautiful. That is so, so beautiful. And, as just a way to kind of like tie it together, before we tie it together, who would you like to see on the Multiple Podcast? And it doesn't have to be who, it could also be like, what kind of conversations do you think we should be having that we're not having? Or just maybe any suggestion of topics that you think of interest to you.
I mean, we've done a whole lot.
Yeah.
So I know you've done the nonprofit works.
Yeah.
You've done so much different facets. You've done the career thing, the family thing. I guess more so things that would tie into, because I know culture, and you've done this, but also like maybe more of like the cultural aspect of things and cultural learnings and discussions.
Yeah.
maybe a good one. I know you've talked to, like, I know your passion for Korea, for example, getting someone from Korea to talk about the different foods, travel experiences, and how to tie that in. You know, I alluded to some Ghanaian-Nigerian differences, maybe a little bit more deep dive into, like, what that those differences are, what that looks like food-wise, you know, because, you know, people nowadays, everybody... Well, not everybody, but I think there's a growing interest in, like, traveling and exploration. Yeah. So, like, having information that will guide someone, you know, for their next trip, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say, for example, there's a real good friend of ours who just got married in Ghana recently, and she had all kinds of people going to Ghana for her wedding, right?
Oh, nice.
Both native Ghanaians, non-Ghanaians, Nigerians, you know, like, so some type of episode discussing different foods, different cultural highlights, things like that. So that way, if people go to that area, they're like, oh, I need to try this that most people talked about. Or yeah. Something like that. And I'm just using kind of West Africa as an example, but this could be, like,
could be anything. Like,
global. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I would say comes to mind.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's really been, I felt like this podcast, this episode was just a way to catch up with you, one, because we haven't done this in a while, but also to see how far we've both grown in the past, you know, 7 years. And thank you for all of the wonderful feedback, and just a reminder that even sometimes when we don't see the forest for the trees to keep going, and you can look back and just see the strides we made. Just to say thank you for all the feedback you provided for the show, on the show, especially the importance of just, you know, to keep things going, because 7 years feels like a lifetime, but it didn't really feel like 7 years. And in talking to you, it really helped me get a deeper appreciation for the importance of consistency. And it wasn't perfect when I started. Again, I talked about cringing at my very first episode. It's how I know that I have made it, because I couldn't even get past past the jingle, and then what?
I still love that jingle, though.
I know, I love the jingle. I love the jingle. It was just the voice and the jingle that just made me like, oh my god.
Welcome to Most People Podcast.
Yeah. But thank you so much. I don't know if you had any question you wanted to ask me that you're curious to know about, as a way to just honor your time on the podcast as well, but I'm done with all of my questions.
Oh, no questions for me. I'm just really excited. I'm glad we can make this happen.
Yes.
Always a pleasure to see you. I would not have believed it would have taken us this long.
I'm glad it happened. It's a rich tea that has been brewing for the past 7 years, and it's been for a very beautiful story.
Yeah, and it's crazy how much can happen in 7 years, really.
I know. All right, everyone, that wraps up our special 7th anniversary visit with Dr. Fiona Danse. It was truly wonderful catching up with her and hearing about all the amazing ways her life has unfolded, from her student status to career as a dedicated pharmacist, to her joys of family, travel, volunteering. I think her story is a beautiful reminder of growth, of change, and the things that truly matter. Thank you once again, Fiona, for sharing your journey with us. And thank you, listeners, for joining us on this special episode. And happy anniversary to the Most People Podcast. And to all of our listeners who have been with us from day one, we honor you, we see you, we thank you so much. Bye, everyone. All right. Well, let me end. Mm-hmm.